This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
In this episode of the podcast, we have a beautiful, unmedicated hospital birth story with Christine. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a board-certified OBGYN who's been in practice for nearly 15 years. I've had the privilege of helping over 1,000 babies into this world, and I'm here to help you be calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 217. Whether you are a new listener or a returning listener, I'm so grateful that you're spending some of your time with me today. Today's episode, we have Christine. Christine lives in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina with her husband, Nathan, daughter, Vera, and German short-haired pointer, Orzo. She's a full-time stay-at-home mom and also works as a preconception, prenatal, and postpartum registered dietitian. She provides one-on-one nutrition counseling to empower birthing people about nourishing their bodies for themselves, their babies, and generations to come. So Christine had PROM, which is premature rupture of membranes. That means your water breaks before labor starts. And then after that, her labor and birth actually was just less than 10 hours. She was planning for an unmedicated hospital birth, and that's exactly what she got. When she was admitted, things went pretty quickly. Her contractions intensified pretty quickly after her water broke, and she got to 5 centimeters over what was several hours, and then 5 to 10 centimeters, which is completely dilated in just 2 hours. She pushed for 45 minutes, tried lots of different positions, actually found that delivering on her back ended up being the best. She also did not have her regular doctor there, and that caused some anxiety around her birth, but in the end, a healthy baby was born. And you're going to hear all the details of Christine's story today. And she really wanted to share her story to encourage other women who are wanting to have an unmedicated hospital birth, that it is definitely possible and it can be a very positive experience and environment. Being in the hospital should not and does not have to provoke negative feelings, is what Christine said. So I'm super excited to share her story with you today. Now, before we get into the episode, I know that one of the things that's really crucial for having a great hospital birth experience is childbirth education. So I would like to invite you to check out my childbirth education class, the Birth Preparation Course. The Birth Preparation Course is my signature online childbirth education class that gets you calm, confident, and empowered to have a beautiful birth, particularly in the hospital. I have lots of information and resources in the course specifically geared towards unmedicated birth, a special bonus lesson, pictures, a guide, all of that good, great stuff. Detailed descriptions of pain management techniques and options. So check it out, drnicolerankins.com/enroll. Thousands of other women have, and I'd love to see you there too. All right, let's get into the birth story episode with Christine. Thank you so much, Christine, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I am excited to have you share your story today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited as well.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about yourself and your family and maybe your work, because I think your work probably influenced your pregnancy too.
Yes, absolutely. So I am married. My husband, my daughter, now 15 months old, and I live in Charleston, South Carolina. And we, at time of birth, we had two German short hair pointers. Our old one has passed since, but I had to include him in the story. Yeah. So Charlie will be in there. And so I'm very fortunate to be full-time stay-at-home mom. But then also I partly work as a registered dietitian. Okay. So I kind of have a little side gig as a dietitian, and I focus on women who are trying to conceive, are pregnant, currently pregnant, and then recently postpartum. Awesome. So definitely influenced, you know, my pregnancy and kind of things that I did before, during, and after. But, you know, helpful for sure.
So in order to understand what happens during the birth, I think we always have to understand what happens during the pregnancy. So let's start off with, what was your pregnancy like? What was your prenatal care like?
Yeah. So starting with the baseline of pregnancy is hard. But relatively speaking, I wouldn't necessarily call my pregnancy easy, but I wouldn't say it was hard, if that makes sense. Yeah. I had like every symptom. Okay. I think you could have like, all of them, things that I didn't even know were a symptom beforehand.
Right.
You know, you always think of fatigue and nausea and heartburn, that kind of thing. Yeah. But like carpal tunnel, I had no idea. Yep. And like itchiness. Yep. I was third trimester. I was super itchy.
Okay.
Like to the point where my husband was like, I think you need to like ask for labs or something, because it can be a sign. Is it like liver or gallbladder? I forget. So thankfully it was all fine. Okay. It was like no big issue. Gotcha. Just itchy. But a friend had told me about eczema cream. So that actually helped a lot. Okay. Cause I was using lotions and oils beforehand, but nothing was helping. But that helped. So I mean, all the symptoms, but everything was like manageable.
Okay. Any problems with nausea? I was going to say nausea, vomiting.
Yeah. I definitely had nausea up until like 16 weeks.
Okay.
But I really didn't vomit much, thankfully, so that was good. The one scare we had was at 16 weeks, at my OB appointment. The OB heard like a decline and then a pause in the heart rate.
Right.
And she heard it on the Doppler and then she heard it on the ultrasound. Right. So she's like, you know, this may be nothing, but like, let's refer you to MFM, get you checked out.
Right.
So that was at 16 weeks. And then they got me in like the early following week at 17. And the OB, or the MFM doctor, he was like, if I didn't know what you were coming in for, I would have thought this was just an early anatomy scan.
Okay.
So like everything looked good.
Okay.
You know, it was just kind of a definitely anxiety provoking.
Sure. Absolutely.
But thankfully it was okay. I mean, he did want me to come back at 25 weeks when the heart was developed and do like a fetal echo.
Okay.
That turned out good. Okay. He was like, but there's like, some of the measurements are like slightly small for gestational age. So let's have you come back one more time.
Okay.
So I went back at 29 weeks to MFM, but everything was good. And like they discharged me. So, you know, just like a little extra.
Yeah. That's still quite a few weeks though of a little bit of anxiety, or maybe a lot of bit of anxiety, worrying that, is this going to be something that that happens. I mean, that's like what, 8-10 weeks of concern. So
Yeah. I would say like at least after the first one, most of my anxieties were like, you know, mitigated. Like that really helped. But those first like several days was, it was rough.
And you said you saw an OB. Did you see the same OB or was it different OBs in a practice? How did it work for you?
Yeah. So I think there were seven OBs in the practice. So I mostly like I had already been seeing one for like gynecology care. And I really liked her. Okay. So she was like my main, but then you had the option of seeing the other physicians if you wanted to, which I did. I wanted to like meet everyone beforehand because you never know who's going to deliver. Sure. So yeah, throughout my pregnancy, I saw, I think almost all of them, at least once.
Okay.
So I got to meet everyone.
And how do you feel about the care you received?
Good. Yeah. I felt like, you know, I would go in with questions for the most part. And so if I had questions, they would answer them. You know, I liked the practice a lot. And I'd heard really good things previously about like friends that had delivered there too. So
Okay, good. So you overall great experience, it sounds like. Okay. All right. And what are some things that you wanted for your birth?
So I wanted an unmedicated birth.
Okay.
So I was going in, you know, I was pretty set on unmedicated birth. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
I listened to a lot of podcasts with medicated births, but I also listened to a few stories that were like inductions or C-sections because you just never know.
Right. What podcast did you listen to?
Well, obviously yours. yours was so helpful, like just like all the medical information, but then also like the birth stories are so helpful to like hear a wide range of like what could happen and just like that, again, that you just never know. But that also listened to evidence-based birth. Birth Naturally.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
I think that's the one with two sisters and they talk about like, they have birth stories, but then they talk about like their births and stuff.
I'll have to look that one up. Okay.
And then, I listened to a bunch. I can't even remember all of them. But there was another one with a doula that I listened to. The birth story? Oh, I don't know.
No, that's okay. I just like to share doula people. Yeah. If people are like I'm a podcast junkie. So it's like, if I hear one, I want to hear all of them. So I like to share other options for folks besides mine. So yeah, so that's cool. And then, so you definitely knew you wanted an unmedicated birth. You listened to podcasts. What else did you do to prepare?
Oh, to prepare? More like, what did I not do?
Oh, okay. Let's go ahead and get into it.
So I actually, starting even before we were trying to conceive, I was listening to podcasts. I was reading books. Changed my diet because, you know, I'm a dietitian. So I had been a vegetarian / pescatarian for like 20 years.
Okay.
And like a year before we tried to, we were going to start trying, I started eating meat again.
Really?
I knew that was going to be really important. Yeah.
Really? What? That's interesting. What made you come? I mean, like all of it, like red meat, pork, all of it?
Yeah,
or just, what'd you do?
I dipped my toes in here, like as I was kind of getting back into it. But yeah, now like I eat all of it. But just because really, I mean, you can being, you know, a vegetarian or pescatarian, it's just going to be a lot more, you're going to have to be really, really intentional about making sure that you're getting all your nutrients that you need, you know, making sure you're taking your vitamins that you, the things that you do need to supplement.
Right.
So yeah, so I started eating meat again and.
Do you feel like it affected your body at all?
There was one time that I was definitely like a little GI upset.
Okay.
But honestly, no. Otherwise, like, because like I said, I just kind of took it slow.
Gotcha.
As I was starting to eat meat again. And I felt good.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I can't say that I've ever heard anybody do that. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting perspective. And obviously you know the information because you're a dietitian. So, and you felt good and feel good about the decision.
Absolutely. And I started cutting back on caffeine because I'm a coffee lover, so I was like, all right, I gotta cut back on that. But then once we got pregnant, you know, continued to read like more books, listen to podcasts, continued exercising. I was already doing that, but probably did more like yoga and stretching than I was doing previously. Did meditation. I, and okay, let's see. I did some massages.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
If you can
nice,
do that.
Nice.
That is
yes. Yes.
A nice
yes,
little treat.
Yes.
But helps you know your muscles, like relax, uh-huh. you'll be able to stretch.
Right, right.
And, you know, get baby in the right position. Uh-huh. Went to chiropractic care in third okay. trimester.
Okay. Did you find that helpful?
So I did it alongside what I was getting ready to say, pelvic floor mm-hmm. PT. Mm-hmm. So I definitely for sure that was helpful.
Okay.
Chiropractic, I don't know. Like, I couldn't necessarily
right.
tell you yes
sure,
or no.
Sure,
But the pelvic floor PT was absolutely helpful.
Okay.
I would say, you know, I would recommend that to anyone.
Gotcha. Did your insurance cover this or did you have to pay out of pocket?
I paid out of pocket, mm-hmm. but I had already like known a PT around the area. Uh-huh. And so I would just like went to her.
Gotcha.
So I didn't check beforehand, which I probably should have, and they didn't. I tried to like submit the claims afterwards,
sure.
but you know.
Okay.
No. But yeah. there are multiple around the area, so maybe if I would have checked with somebody else,
okay.
it would have been covered.
Gotcha.
So, and you know, I didn't go until I was like starting to have like pelvic pain
uh-huh.
and like low back pain
uh-huh.
and like even like a little bit of urinary issues.
Okay.
And realistically, I probably should have gone sooner.
Okay.
Just kind of like more preventative. But
mm-hmm.
So I went to them through third trimester and then also checked it back in postpartum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then did you do any specific, how were you planning to manage pain if it wasn't going to be with medication?
Yes. So breathing
uh-huh.
was like going to be a huge thing I knew. And
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, trying to do meditation. So, you know, kind of help with that. But I mean, I was mostly focusing on breathing.
Uh-huh.
I did get a doula.
Okay.
So I hadn't got there yet. So I'd hired a doula.
Uh-huh.
So was going to hope, you know, I was hoping that would
sure.
help. Like she could do some maneuvers.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But yeah, I mean, I was just going to be focusing on breathing and water, not
uh-huh.
water birth, but like,
right.
I was hoping that I could be
right.
in the tub here
uh-huh.
at home.
Uh-huh.
Which didn't end up happening, but,
did you take any childbirth education classes at all?
So not specifically childbirth education.
Uh-huh.
Like I did so much research on my own, like reading books
yeah.
and podcasts
yeah.
that
yeah.
I felt like knowledge wise for that, I was prepared.
Gotcha.
There's a center here, like the Newborn Center of Charleston. They have like a breastfeeding class and an
uh-huh.
infant care class.
Uh-huh.
So I took those.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, my doula would come. She did a couple prenatal visits. So
okay.
she'd come over. She had some like books and.
Gotcha.
But any like things I feel like I already knew.
Gotcha.
Because
gotcha.
I'd already
gotcha.
Done so much research on my own.
Yeah. And I was just going to ask about your doula and whether or not, like, at what point did you hire her? And like, what was the relationship or how were things during the prenatal period? Like, what did she do to help?
Mm-hmm. I kind of knew pretty early that I wanted a doula
mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to unmedicate. And I just felt
right.
like having another, you know, first of all, having a woman there to
mm-hmm.
help me who's, you know, knows births, has been through
right.
births. But, you know, and obviously, like, all the things that they can help with.
Sure.
But I think I hired her maybe second trimester and
okay.
she would do a couple prenatal visits, just kind of like check in, you know, see if I needed any information, kind of
uh-huh.
talk about things,
right.
You know, the plan that's, and then like how things were going to go. And the one that I hired wasn't actually the one that was there because,
okay.
which I knew there was a chance she
uh-huh.
was leaving for vacation the day before my due date. And so I knew it was a chance, but I was like, okay, my mom went early on two
right.
out of three of her births.
Right.
Maybe I'll go early.
Right.
It'll be
right.
okay.
didn't
so it wasn't
quite
her,
that
but
right.
it was, I still had a doula there.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then you wanted an unmedicated birth. You were all in for that. Are there any other things that you wanted for your birth?
I mean, you know, like the aftercare, I wanted skin to skin right away. Like
mm-hmm.
all the kind of, you know, I wanted baby to be on my chest to try and, you know, really enjoy that like golden hour.
Right.
But I mean, for the birth itself, I just didn't want like a lot going on. Like I didn't want a lot of in and out, like a
mm-hmm.
lot of checks.
Mm-hmm.
While I was at the hospital, I did like want dim lights if
mm-hmm.
possible.
The
hospital that I was going to had like showers and baths.
Okay.
So I had requested that one I think all of them did, but I was like, I had that on my birth plan that I wanted one with at least a shower or a bath.
Gotcha.
So, and like no coached pushing. I didn't want that. Right. I wanted to be able to try pushing in any position if I wanted, because that was one thing I really did not know. Like, what position am I going to want to push in?
Right.
I don't know until I'm going to be there. Right.
So, yep, absolutely.
So that was one thing.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So, and you said you had a birth plan. Did you talk about your birth plan with your doctors during your prenatal visit, or did you bring it to the hospital?
I did. I talked to my primary, the doctor that I've been seeing, and because she actually had, because from the very beginning, I told her like, "Hey, I do want to do an endometrial birth. Like, how do you think that's going to go? Like in this hospital?"
Right.
And she was like, "Oh yeah," she's like, "You could do it if that's like what you're going to set your mind to.
Right.
You know, go for it, and you can do it." She's like, "But she was like the caveat, but you know, be prepared to be flexible." So, and I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And then at one point she had asked if I'd had like kind of a birth plan. And she's like, all right, we'll bring it to your next visit and we'll go over it. So, so we did, which was really helpful because there was some things, you know, cause I was like, well, I don't want Pitocin. I don't want, you know, any of these medications ideally.
And, right.
But she like was like, okay, sometimes we use medication if, you know, you're not progressing. We don't necessarily have to go full throttle and like it be on the whole time, you know, and she just kind of explained like, okay, these are some interventions that sometimes we use and this is why we use them. Yes. Not necessarily like it's all black or white. So it was helpful to talk to her about it. And she was like very, I mean, obviously she was open to me doing unmedicated, but she just wanted me to like understand why things happen.
Yeah. That's really important because that's not a conversation that you want to have in the middle of labor while you're trying to deal with contractions. So you had a better idea going into it what to expect. Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. All right, so let's get into what was your labor and birth like?
Okay, so I'm going to actually start with 39 weeks because that kind of plays into my delivery. So at 39 weeks, I got a phone call and my primary OB wasn't going to be able to do my check that day. Okay. They were like, hey, you can reschedule it for later in the week, or you can go in with this other doctor. And I was like, I need to set it for the same time. I just need to come in.
Right.
So I went in, my check had been, I was 1 centimeter dilated, 80 or 90% effaced, and I think -1 station.
Okay.
And it was pretty much the same as the week before. But when she did my check, I was like, oh my, that hurt like way more than last week.
Right.
It's like, and then she did my fundal height and she was like, your fundal height's off. We need to go do an ultrasound now. Your fluid might be low and we might need to induce like today.
Right.
And like that. And I was like, whoa, all right, we're going to get an ultrasound. Thankfully, I mean, my fluid was fine. It was like on the low side of normal.
Right.
And then afterwards, the OB was like, okay, well, your fluid was okay, but we're getting you another ultrasound and a stress test for next Monday, like your 40 week. And we need to get your induction scheduled now. Like it needs to be for like, it was going to be like 40 in a couple days.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. Right. And she's like, but I kind of stripped your membrane, so we might not make it there. And I was like, whoa. First of all, what do you mean kind of? I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, like either you did or you didn't. Like what is...
Right. But I was just like in shock because I was like, well, I didn't consent to that. Right. I didn't talk about that. And it was just like the discussion was just so like blunt and abrasive to how I was used to like my OB. Like, because my fundal height had been off like a month prior, and it was like, oh, it's probably just the way your uterus is sitting. We just need to get a ultrasound check to make sure. Right. And, you know, this is just extra precaution, you know, like totally two different demeanors.
Right.
So I was like, left that. And I was just like, okay, well, all right. And I was like, well, if you're going to kind of strip them, I wish you would have just stripped them.
But, I mean,
but anyway, so 39 weeks comes and goes. Mm-hmm. I'm 40 weeks. It's a Monday. I go to my appointment with my primary OB, and my check was, and I had asked her, I was like, I want you to strip my membranes today.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be induced. And my check was, she's like, well, you're 1.5 centimeters. She's like, I can't really put that in, so I'll say 2, but she's like, you're 90% effaced and -1 station. So I was essentially the same. Uh-huh. And I was like, defeat. Like, I just was like distraught. I was like, I don't want to be induced. I started crying in the office. Aww. I was like, I don't want to be induced. I just want to go into labor naturally. Right. Like, I don't want the, you know, she was like, she was so sweet. And she's like, tell me why you don't want to be induced. Are you scared? Like, what's going on?
Right.
And I was terrified of a C-section.
Okay.
Like, I knew, like, okay, if that had to happen to keep me and baby safe, like, it had to happen, but literally, like, terrified me.
Okay.
I know some people are totally okay with it, but I was just, like, think about it, and I'm like,
it would just, right.
So I'm telling her all this, and she's like, okay, well, you know, like, strip me. I had asked her to, so she had stripped my membranes, and she's like, you know, she talked about the options. She was like, how about we have you come in on Thursday? They had my induction scheduled for Friday. I'll strip your membranes again. We'll check and see where you're at. Like, you won't need Cervidil because, you know, you're already a face. Like, maybe we'll just use a little bit of Pitocin to get things started. Or maybe there was another medication that she said that she was like, maybe we could just use that instead of Pitocin. But I don't remember.
Cytotec maybe? Or
I don't think it was Cytotec. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
And so she was like, you know, reassuring. She's like, but, you know, again, you might not even make it there. Like, you might go into labor tonight or tomorrow. And so I'm like, okay. So I call my husband. I tell him what's up. He's already off work because I'm 40 weeks. That's my due date. And he's like, okay, why don't you come home? It was our younger dog, Orzo's, birthday that day. And so he's like, we'll go out to eat and we'll get some French dips. We'll bring Orzo along. And so I'm like, all right. So I go home. And by the time I got home, he's like, you know, why don't we take a nap? We should rest first. And I'm like, okay. So by the time we wake up from our nap, I'm like, okay, traffic's going to be terrible. We're not going to the brewery we wanted to go to get these French dips. I'm like, it's the last time I can go to prenatal yoga. I was like, I'm going to go tonight. And then when we come back, we'll go get our French dips. On my way to yoga, my water broke.
Okay.
Like, at first it was like, did my water just break?
Right.
And then like 20 seconds later, I was like, oh yeah.
Okay.
It was a gush.
Fluid coming all out of my body and I have no control over it.
Yes. It was my water broke. So I called up the studio. I was like, hey, my water just broke. I'm actually not coming. I turn around, I go home, and my husband's like, what, did you decide not to go to yoga? Are you ready to go eat? And I was like, no, my water just broke.
Right.
I was like, he's like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm positive. So he's like, okay, we gotta go to the hospital. I'm like, no. We gotta take care of the dogs.
Right.
I gotta get something to eat. I gotta shower.
Yes.
We gotta finish getting our baths. Like, no. So he's like, well, have you called the OB? And I was like, no. I was like, okay, I'll call him. And so I called triage and they're like, oh, the OB will call you back. And I was like, okay, who's on call? It was my third, the doctor I had at 39 week check. And I was like, I hung up. I started crying for like 20 seconds. I was like, okay, Christine, get it together. You got a baby to deliver, right. So you don't have time for this.
Okay. You're like, let me gather myself here because.
Yes. So I'm like, and by the time, you know, like 7 a.m., it's going to be shift change. Like, I'm not going to have this baby forever. I'm like, I'm first time mom. Like, it's going to be a while.
Right.
So I call, or she calls me back and she's like, oh, are you having any contractions? I'm like, no, I don't think so. Just some Braxton Hicks. Cause I've been having those since like 30 weeks. And my husband's like, Christine, your water broke. Those are contractions now. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. And so she's like, okay, we'll just monitor things for a couple hours and call me back. And I'm like, okay, I like that answer because my husband's trying to get us to leave and go to the hospital. I'm like, no. And so I do some like sidestep stairs and bouncing on the ball every time I have a contraction, which they're so mild at this point. My dogs are like barking and they're like, you know, my old boy Charlie's like sitting at my feet and the other dog's like going crazy. But I'm like, they're just so intuitive. I'm like, I'm not even like breathing through this. I don't even know I'm having a contraction.
And they know something's going on.
Crazy. but then they kind of start to like pick up the contractions, but they're so erratic. Like I'm having one every 7 minutes and then it's every 2 minutes and then it's 4 minutes and then it's back to like 45 seconds. Right. They're like all over the place.
Right. Oh, did you call your doula at all?
Oh, I had been texting her and like telling her what's up. Gotcha. And she's like, okay, you know, keep me updated.
Right.
Or, well, she was the one that was like, start timing them.
Okay.
Cause I was like, they're kind of, you know, and she was like, okay, go ahead and start timing them. So I'd time them and I was like sending them to her. And then so finally my husband's like, we've got to get going. Like they're all over the place, and I'm like, okay, I'll shower. Like, and then we call the OB and she's like, all right, well, your water's already broken. So just come over. And this was, we started heading over, I think around like 7:30.
Okay.
So we had to go through the ER, but she was like, you're not going to have to go into the ER because your water's already broken. We're going to admit you.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So then by the time we get to the hospital, they're picking up. They're like every 3 to 4 minutes consistently at this point. Okay. And like, I'm having to breathe through them.
Right.
So I get checked or, you know, get into the hospital. The first thing the nurse asks, do you have a birth plan?
Right.
And I was like, yes, thank you. I do. My husband got it. And my nurse was amazing. She was so good.
Right.
She checked me and I was 3 centimeters.
Okay.
And so I kind of knew like, I'm not going to be super far along.
Right.
Like, my water just broke. I just got checked earlier today.
Right.
Like,
right. And you were probably like, I just don't want to be one.
Like, right. Some progress.
Yes.
So yeah, we kind of get settled in. My husband let the doula know, hey, you know, my wife wants you to go ahead and come down. So that was like 8:30 or something p.m. And so they've definitely picked up in pain. And I'm in the well, they did monitor, I guess, at first. And then I'm in the shower. I use that for my pain management, like pretty much the whole time. I was in the shower almost, unless I was getting the monitoring, I was pretty much in the shower with the hot water on my back. I had bad back labor.
Okay.
So that really helped with the water.
And they were taking you off of the monitor for you to go in the shower.
Yeah. So actually that was one thing that I had requested was like the intermittent monitoring. Mm-hmm.
Good.
So yeah, my husband thought it was so funny. They give you the gown and I have the gown on and you know, they have the thing around my belly. They're doing the contractions and I had the head of the bed up and I was like kind of like facing it, like leaning against it. Cause that was just what I didn't want to be like on my back. Like that was terrible.
Right.
And I was like so distracted by the gown. And I was like, can I just take this off? I was like, I'm in the shower. I'm like, and she's like, girl, you don't have to wear anything if you don't want to like whip it off.
Yes,
and my husband thought that was like so hilarious that I was just like walking around for hours. And I'm like, I'm having a baby. Like, what's it matter?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So,
love it.
Yeah, I would just, I don't know how often they were doing the monitoring, but yeah, whatever the typical is, I think. And then, so at around 8:30, I was 3 centimeters. And then they checked me at 11:30 and the doctor had come in. This was the doctor that did the check now. And I was 5 centimeters.
Okay.
But I was like kind of bummed about that because I was like, whew. I was like, I'm struggling. Like, this is hard.
Right.
I was like, I'm having to breathe through it. Right. Like, this is bad back pain.
Right.
I was like, I'm using the shower. And I was like, I don't know. Can I do this? And right. I mean, my doula and the nurse were like, you're doing great. Like, right. you can't, you're already doing it. They're like, right. don't look at it as if you're only halfway.
Right.
They're like, you're already, at that point, I think I was maybe 100% effaced or okay. something.
Right.
And maybe, I guess I was, it must have been that check that I was at zero station.
Okay.
So I was like, things besides dilation were happening.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, you're doing great. Just keep right. going. And my deal right. was like, take it one contraction at a time. Like, yep. you got to release your shoulders. You got to yep. release some of that tension.
Right.
I'm like, all right. And I just got in the zone. Like,
okay.
I was just from then on, I just feel like, I mean, it was hard, but mm-hmm. I was like, I was just so like focused.
Right.
And shortly after that check, I had told my doula, I was like, I'm feeling like a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, and I was like, this, like, I'm feeling different.
Right.
And she's like, I was like, should I get checked again? And she's right. like, I mean, we can ask if you want to get checked, but like, right. it's only been an hour.
Right.
And you were 5 centimeters and you were a little discouraged at 5 centimeters. So right. I don't want you to get more discouraged.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. So I just was like breathing through it. I'm like visualizing like uh-huh. flowers blooming. My cervix right. is opening. Right. Like right. baby's right. going to come soon.
Right. Right.
My, you know, the doula and my husband were taking turns doing like hip squeezes and back press, counter pressure. And, you know, intermittently, I'm having to go get the checks, mm-hmm. Or the, not the cervical checks, the monitoring.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
And then at one point the nurse comes in and she's like, the doctor's going to come in a few minutes. Cause we need to check you. Like your contractions are on top of each other. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's right. fine. And from the time it took me to get from the bathroom to uh-huh. the bed, I had like uh-huh. 3 contractions. It right. seemed like it took me forever to get there. because yeah, I'm like, dying in the right. middle, you know?
Right.
But no, I mean, I was okay. But, and so then the doctor checks me and she's uh-huh. like, if you want, you're ready to push.
Okay.
And I was like,
what?
And this was at 1:30. So from 11:30 uh-huh. PM to 1:30 AM, I went from 5 to 10.
See?
So okay. it went that right. part.
And yes.
It went quickly. I mean, it didn't, you know, but like right. all in all, it went
right.
quickly.
Right.
And you know, some people, or when I heard unmedicated stories talk uh-huh. about like the transition uh-huh. period, they're like, oh, it's like your demeanor changes, like, and you, it's kind of like an out of body experience and like you're not with it. And
right.
I felt the opposite. I was like so focused. I was like so in tune with my body at that point. Like, I remember my husband trying to distract me. Uh-huh. Like, he's like, hey, look at our dogs. Like, because we had our camera on our dogs.
Right.
So we could watch them. Look at Orzo. He's so nervous. He's looking out the window for us. Right. And I'm like, I'm focusing. Don't.
Right. Right.
If you're not going to squeeze my back, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
But yeah, so I went from 5 to 10 in like 2 hours. And so then she was like, yeah, if you're ready to push, like you uh-huh. can push whenever you want. And
okay.
so I tried a few different positions.
Uh-huh.
I did like side lying. Uh-huh. I did kind of like the same position I was doing while I was getting the checks where I was like facing the inclined head of the bed.
Right.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like.
It might be hard for people to know. I know exactly what she's talking about because I can see the labor bit. Like I can see it in my head in the labor room. But you were just kind of like facing the head of the bed, and like you can sit the bed up and sort of lean over it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tried that, and then you know tried side lying, like the opposite side lying again, uh-huh. and I felt like this baby's got to be progressing out, like. We didn't know if it was a girl or a boy.
Oh,
so I was
okay.
like, the baby's got to be coming. I was
right.
like, and I kept asking, I was like, is the baby crowning?
Right.
And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, I have a few choice words, you know, every time. and then the doctor, the OB is like,
right.
okay, Christine, like if you want me to check like how you're doing while you're pushing, I need you to get on your back so I can like see what's going on.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to get on my back. I don't want to get on my back. And she's like, if you want me to help you, you've got to do that. And she's like, otherwise you can keep pushing how you want. Like it's
right.
up to you. And
right.
my husband's like, Christine, just do what she says. And I'm like, okay, we'll do that. And she's like, we'll get a, she offered a like hot heating pad to put underneath my low back.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, let's do that. So then we did that and she's like, okay, she's like, she told me she thought it would be best if I continued to push on my back, like where she could see kind of like how things were going.
Okay.
So I was like, all right. So, you know, I pushed and then eventually baby's head started coming out and they were like, push, push, like keep pushing. Like at that point they were like, you need to like get this baby out, because I didn't know at the time, but the cord was wrapped around the neck. And, which was, she got it out, you know, unwound, like super quick.
Right.
But my husband was like, I think like baby was kind of like desatting a little bit at the very end.
Okay.
And that's why they were like, okay, at this point you got to like just keep pushing. Right. So I didn't really get a break between the head and the shoulders.
Okay. But, it all just came.
But baby came out and she was like,
how long did you push?
It was only 45 minutes.
Okay. Nice.
So not too bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's labor was such like a time warp. Like it seemed like a long time, but at the same time, it didn't seem like any time at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably hard to explain if you haven't been through it, but I'm sure all those people that have know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. As an OBGYN and podcast host, I'm excited to share a resource that empowers mothers and mothers-to-be in managing their pelvic floor and core health. It's called Informed Pregnancy Plus, and it offers access to essential workshops that can significantly enhance your understanding and care of your body during and after pregnancy. Discover The Core Connection, a foundational 5-episode series by Natalie Headings, a pre-postnatal exercise specialist. This series covers the basics of pelvic floor health, teaches key postural adjustments, and shows you how to activate your core properly. For a more comprehensive experience, check out Mindful Movement. This premium series provides in-depth content, including practical exercises and personalized strategies to strengthen your body. It's like having a pelvic health expert in your home. You can try the full subscription streaming library of Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free. Visit informedpregnancy.tv to start an empowered journey toward a healthier motherhood. Take this step for your health, your body, and your baby will thank you. So baby comes out.
Yeah. And she's like, look down. Like, and she holds, and I saw that it was a girl,
right.
Which I thought it was a girl, but you know, we didn't know. So, so I was like, okay, you know, we were all excited and my husband saw then and, and they got baby like right on my chest.
Okay.
Did the delayed cord clamping.
Uh-huh.
Baby was like healthy and awesome. All was good.
Awesome. I love it. So it's, sounds like that doctor ended up being okay then in the end, or was it that you just didn't have that much time with her or a combination of both?
No, she's a good doctor.
Okay.
It was just that like my husband said, because he liked her. He was like, no, she was like straight. She's to the point. You know, she got out a healthy baby, which was, you know, that's what her job is. And I was like, no, absolutely. It was just, he's like, you want somebody warm and fuzzy that's going to like give you a hug. And that was just not her personality.
Gotcha.
So no, she was a good doctor. I didn't have like the best 39-week experience her, but like she got the baby out and baby was healthy and all was well.
Okay. So. I mean, well, you got the baby out cause you did the work. So she just made sure nothing crazy happened.
Yeah.
But you got the work, you got the baby out. So.
Yeah. Yes.
So then did you have to get any stitches or anything?
No, I did not tear.
Look
so
at you.
No tearing. Yep. And you know, when I went to pelvic floor PT, we not only worked on like back pain and all that, but we did like pushing prep and we did, the perineal massages. I started that at like, I think 34 weeks. And then we talked through like, you know, using your breath while pushing, not bearing down, that sort of thing. So thankfully no tearing. And so definitely made recovery.
Okay.
You know. Pretty good.
Nice. And then I forgot to ask, do you feel like as you were pushing, like during the crowning, do you remember like ring of fire or increase in intensity or anything like that?
I mean, increase in intensity. Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. But not the ring of fire. I don't, you know what, actually. So the doctor at one point, she was like, asked if she could inject lidocaine into my vagina.
Okay.
And so I guess technically not completely unmedicated, okay. But, you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. I was like, and my husband was like, she's worried about you tearing really badly and right. She's going to have to put lidocaine in there for you to stitch up anyway. So right. She was like, just it's fine. Like the local lidocaine is fine. Right. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So maybe that's why I didn't feel the ring of fire, okay. but definitely like an increase in intensity. Sure. Oh, for sure.
Sure. Sure. That's interesting that she asked to do lidocaine even beforehand. I have never done that before.
I remember her explaining some things, but I don't remember what. Sure. She was
yeah.
Explaining.
I mean, yeah, you were in your zone. Like you were focused in the moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So everything went well afterwards. Mm-hmm. How long did you stay in the hospital? How was your postpartum course?
So I delivered at 2:29 a.m. So mm-hmm. we had to stay like a little bit longer than 24 hours. Right. So we like, I don't know, like 36 or whatever. Right. So really one full night.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, my recovery was really good. Like I said, I didn't tear. Uh-huh. So I walked to the postpartum unit.
Right.
And like was walking around the unit. My labor nurse was amazing. Mm-hmm. She like even came, she like got off shift the next night. She like came and checked on me.
Aww.
Like she was so sweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, like latching was tricky as far as breastfeeding.
I was going to ask about breastfeeding.
Yeah. So it was definitely tricky. Like the nurses and the lactation consultants had to come like help me. I feel like while I was in the hospital, I don't know that I got her to latch on my own. Mm-hmm. and my husband was so worried. He's like, I don't think we can take her home. Like, she's not going to be able to eat anything. Like, but we like figured it out kind of. Like, yes. It was definitely a struggle. And that was one thing. I should have booked a outpatient lactation consultant sooner.
Okay.
Like I ended because my breasts and nipples were so sore.
Okay.
Postpartum. Uh-huh. And so, you know, when she's nursing, I was just thinking, okay, well, this is my body's just like getting used to things. This right. is different. Right. Like, I just need to like kind of toughen up. Like, it'll eventually get better. And so, at one point, it's in the middle of the night, and I'm nursing, and my nipple starts bleeding. I'm like, okay, well, that's normal.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, at that moment, I literally booked a lactation consultant appointment, and they were so helpful. So, I would say the first month of breastfeeding was the hardest. Mm-hmm. But like the lactation consultants were super helpful. That helped like the tips and the tricks. And yeah, and now I'm still breastfeeding.
Okay.
2 months.
Nice. So, yeah. Nice. Love it. Love mm-hmm. it. Love it. So looking back, is there anything like one thing in particular or a couple things in particular that you found were really helpful for you? Or was it just like the combination of the things, the combination of having the doula and the pelvic PT ahead of time and like educating yourself? Was it all kind of came together? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was the combination of mm-hmm. everything for sure. I mean, my husband was like, you're over preparing. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, and going into labor, like I was ready. I was excited. Uh-huh. I was ready. But yeah, I definitely think it was a combination, like knowing, you know, that I need to be breathing, doing mm-hmm. all like the low moaning, mm. the hoarse lips, like all the things.
Right.
But I would say if you're looking into like one thing, I would recommend pelvic floor PT for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right.
So
yeah, we don't utilize that enough at all. Mm-hmm. At all. So I guess I think I know the answer to this question, but how do you feel about your birth experience?
Oh, so good. Yeah. It was super positive. Yeah. It was such a good experience. You know, sometimes when you listen, I was listening to some of the, like the unmedicated either podcasts or books mm-hmm. and I did feel like there's a little bit of a negative connotation on hospital births. Mm-hmm. Like the unmedicated birthing world kind of, you know, mm-hmm. who's on the hospital and they're like, oh, once you get there, you're going to stop progressing. The lights are so bright and like, you know, everyone's going to want to check you. There's just a lot of like negatives, but I felt very comfortable and good about being in the hospital. Like I had like an amazing nurse. She, you know, she did dim the lights. Like I was able to do the intermittent monitoring.
Right.
You know, I didn't have to be hooked up to an IV.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to use the shower. Obviously, I had the doula. So I had a good hospital unmedicated birth experience, which I was a little bit nervous beforehand just because you hear kind of some negative things.
Sure.
So, so I would say if, you know, somebody's wanting to do that, it's totally possible.
Yeah, for sure. You just have to do like you did and prepare.
Absolutely.
So maybe you answered this already, but just to wrap it up, what is the one, like your favorite piece of advice that you would give to somebody who's getting ready to have a baby now?
I would say, don't wait until there's something wrong to get support. Like for me, for pelvic floor PT or lactation consultant, like it's okay to seek out health providers or support, even if there's not an issue. Like realistically, you should be doing that beforehand. So don't wait until there's a problem. Like do something for, you know, this is for you, this is for your children. Like do it ahead of time.
Love that. So where can people find you? I don't know if you do virtual for any of your dietitian things that you do on the side. So where can people connect with you?
I actually only do virtual as far as nutrition counseling. So my business Instagram is christinelegree.rd, or just the, my website is www.christinelegree.com.
Okay. So, awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on to share your story. I think it's really important to share positive experiences of hospital birth. And so I appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing everybody's stories and for all the education that you provide. Super helpful.
Thank you. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful birth story that was. I so appreciate Christine coming on to share her positive hospital unmedicated birth experience. Now, you know, after every time I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, which are my top takeaways from the conversation. And here are my Dr. Nicole's Notes from my conversation with Christine. Number one, I've said this before, I'm gonna say it again, I say it a lot. Birth is unpredictable. That's the only predictable thing about birth, that is that it is unpredictable and you must remain flexible with the process. That is the key to riding the waves of the unpredictability, being flexible with birth. It is so important. Now, the next point is that even though you're flexible with birth, some people interpret that to mean like you just go in, you just go with the flow, you listen to what the doctors tell you, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm talking about. You still need to make a birth plan, or birth preferences would be more accurate, things that you want for your birth. So you still need to be prepared for your birth, and you want to make that birth plan or birth preferences early, and you want to talk about it with your doctor. That's what Christine did. And I cannot overstate how important that is to do that during your prenatal visits, because when you do it during your prenatal visits, you have a sense well before you go into the hospital whether or not the things that you want for your birth or your preferences will be supported. And if they won't be, then you have time to plan accordingly. Those are things that I talk about inside of the birth preparation course, inside of my live birth plan class, which is actually coming up in August, actually, is how to make that birth plan and how to discuss it. Because if you show up at the hospital with this birth plan and you haven't discussed it ahead of time and you don't know whether or not they're going to support it, you could be in for a lot of disappointment and not get the things that you want for your birth. So you need to discuss it ahead of time. I teach you all of that. So check out my website, drnicolerankins.com, and check out the birth plan class that's coming up live, or the entire full birth preparation course. And I'll add that I think this is especially important when you're having an unmedicated birth, and so much of that is about mindset, and you don't want to have that unnecessary stress of worrying about whether or not your birth plan is going to be supported. You want to take that stress off of you, and this is for everybody really, but I think especially for an unmedicated birth, you want to take that stress off of you before you get to the hospital. So discuss your birth plan ahead of time, be prepared ahead of time. Okay, now I got to make a comment about the stripping the membranes that happened without her consent, where the doctor was like, well, I kind of stripped your membranes. That is unequivocally unacceptable, all right? That is so inappropriate. We live in this, or exist in this culture of medicine where doctors are in an environment where it is completely acceptable to put your fingers in someone's vagina without asking and do a procedure that's potentially painful and potentially uncomfortable. I'm struggling to find the words. It's awful. It's embarrassing that we exist in that system where that really seems normal. It's very much so become normalized, that type of culture. So a doctor should never strip your membranes without consent. They really shouldn't even check your cervix without your consent, without asking, do anything without your consent, but especially anything that's invasive as going inside of someone's body. Sometimes people's water gets broken without their consent. Oh, I'm just going to break your water. So that is not acceptable. Absolutely, unequivocally, not acceptable. Okay, a couple more things. When your water breaks and your contractions haven't started, now I cannot give specific medical advice, but I can say that in general, when I was in practice, if your water breaks and your contractions haven't started, it's perfectly fine to wait at home as long as the fluid is clear and you're feeling the baby move. You can wait at home for a period of a few hours, several hours. I used to say 6 hours before you go to the hospital. Of course, that depends on if you have any issues or concerns with your pregnancy or things like that. So you need to check with your own healthcare provider. But you don't have to rush to the hospital just because your water breaks. You can wait for labor to start. It's going to start for most people within 12 hours, 18 hours or so. I'm not saying you wait that long before you go to the hospital. Like I said, I used to say 6 hours to check in. Some practices will say more, but just check and see how your midwife or doctor approaches what to do when your water breaks, because you don't necessarily have to go to the hospital right away. And then the final thing that I'll say is that the right support just makes all the difference. And I wish you didn't have to work so hard to line up the right support within the U.S. maternity system. I wish that support was just automatic and was just there, but it ain't. So you really need to do the things ahead of time to find the support that you need. That's going to include maybe having a doula, a good doula who you interview and make sure is a good fit for you. That's going to include having a good labor nurse. And if you're not happy with your nurse, then asking for another nurse. It's going to include looking and making sure you can be at a hospital that supports evidence-based practices, okay, where you can know that you're in an environment that's going to be supportive for you. It's going to be things like maybe lining up a pelvic physical therapist so you have that support for you as well, because you know our system, especially in the postpartum period, is not going to support you either. So the right support can make all of the difference. And it actually doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be where you spend hours and hours and days doing all the things, but be intentional about making sure that you have that support system lined up, because it can really make such a huge difference both in your pregnancy care, your birth, and your postpartum experience too. And those are all things, of course, I'm here to help you with, whether it's through my podcast, which you're listening to now, of course, through my social media. Instagram, of course, is my favorite platform. That's Dr. Nicole Rankins, or the resources on my website. Check those out too, drnicolerankins.com. All right. So there you have it. Do me a solid. Share this podcast with a friend. Sharing is caring. I'm on a mission to reach and serve as many pregnant folks as possible, especially in the U.S. So if you find this useful, please share it with a friend. Help the show to grow and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to me right now. Leave me a review or shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm at Dr. Nicole Rankins. Let me know what you think about the show. So that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.